second column on the page, which begins with the words Kida. Rabbein Azal says, Kida, you should know, Shekol hadoirois kulam nimshochim in atzadik, that all the generations of Klal Yisrael all come from the tzadik. Shehu harosh. The tzadik is called the rosh, the leader, the head. Bechinas rosh bayis, the term that we used until now in this Torah, that the tzadik is called the head of the house. Bechinas habal habayis sheloilam kanal. He's referred to as the balabayis of the world, the master of the world. Just like a house has a balabayis, a boss, so too the world has a boss, which is the tzadik emes. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, koirei hadoirois meirosh. The pasuk says koirei hadoirois meirosh, and Rabbein Azal says shekol hadoirois nimshochim min harosh. This means that all the doirois come forth, nimshochim. To koirei means to call forth, or to bring forth. Hashem brings forth all the generations meirosh, meaning min harosh, from the one who's called the rosh, the head, the leader. Dahainu hatzadik kanal. This refers to the tzadik. Now let's just take a look for a minute at this pasuk, koirei hadoirois meirosh. This pasuk is in Yeshaya, Kapitel Mem Aleph. The pasuk says, this pasuk is talking about Hashem. Mi po'al vi'osa, koirei hadoirois meirosh, ani Hashem rishoin, ves achroinim ani hu. The literal simple taich is, who has done such a great thing to bring forth all the generations from the beginning of time? It's only I, Hashem, who am the first, and later than everybody, after everybody, I'll still be here. This is Hashem talking. Now, Rashi HaKodesh says on this pasuk, Mi po'al vi'osa loy es zois. Who did all of this? Mi shehu koirei hadoirois meirosh. Meaning, the one who brought forth all generations of the world from the beginning, meaning, la'odam arishain, the one who created Adam Arishain, who also li Avraham gam ezois. He also did for Avraham Avinu what Hashem is, what the Torah is about to describe. This is Rashi HaKodesh's taich of this pasuk. Ani Hashem Rishain lahafli pelev lazer, to do all kinds of wondrous things. Now the Metzudas Dover on this pasuk says, Mi po'al, Mi hu shepoal vi oso ezois, who is the one who did these great things? Haloi Hashem oso, it's Hashem who did all the great things that we see in the world. Ha koirei hadoirois meirosh koidem sheyihu, the one who is koirei the generations meirosh, from the beginning, from before. The word roish could mean from the beginning, the word roish could mean before. The Metzudas David says, "Rotzalaymer sheyodea kol hadoirois haboim v'yikro lechol doir lamoid ditoi." Hashem knows all the generations that are going to come forth in advance, and Hashem commands each generation at the right time for that generation to come forth. Hashem brings forth this generation. This is the literal taich of this pasuk. Rabbein Azal quotes this term koirei hadoirois meirosh. Rabbein Azal is using it in the context of this Torah Nikud Emoran that we learn, that to koirei means to bring forth, hadoirois, the generations. Hashem brings forth the generations meirosh, from the one who's called the roish, which means the tzadik emes. The tzadik is called the roish, from whom Hashem brings forth the generations. Rabbein Azal says, V'azai kisheyesh zeh tzadik, shehu roish bayis, when there is this tzadik, who is a roish bayis, who is the roish bayis, azai yesh bechinas roish, v'yesh bechinas bayis. Rabbein Azal says, the term roish bayis is a nickname of the tzadik, and Rabbein Azal also says that when there is this type of tzadik, who could be called just roish alone, the term roish could apply to him also, then there is a roish, and there is a bayis, meaning, v'azai, and then, kulanu, all of us, dahainu kol b'nei hador kulam, all the people living in the generation that has in it this great tzaddik, b'chinas b'nei bayis, we are all called the members of the household, b'nei bayis, v'azai, kulanu, dahainu kol b'nei hador kulam, b'chinas b'nei bayis. Then what happens is, Rabbein Azal says, when there is this great tzaddik, who is the bechina of a roish bayis, then there is a roish and there is a bayis. There is a head and there is a household, which means that all the members, all the other people in the generation, are considered to be living in a house, living in a standard place to live in. Whereas v'azai kulanu, dahinu kol bnei hador kulam bechinas bnei abayis. Then all of us that are living in a generation that has in it so great a tzaddik, who's called a roish bayis, then all of us are referred to as bnei bayis, people of the bayis. Whereas aval kishenestalik v'nesalim zeh roish shehu aper. But when this roish, when this great tzaddik, who is the beauty of the generation, Bechinas Shem Hashem, he represents the name of Hashem in the world, when he passes away, or when his light becomes hidden, V'nisalem, Azai Mizgabren Chas V'Sholem Shemois HaTumo Shalachitzoinim, then what happens is that his light is replaced with something else. This tzaddik who represented the name of Hashem in this world, when the name of Hashem is hidden or removed, then it's replaced by these shemois hatumo shel hachitzonim. It's replaced by names of impurity, certain names, special terms that refer to forces of tumo. Shezeh bechinas hamefursamim shel sheker kanal. These names are the source of power for the mefursamim shel sheker, for leaders who are false leaders. Leaders who set themselves up as being pious people and worthy of leading the Jewish nation, when in reality they aren't. They're false. They're fakers. They make believe that they're righteous people, but they're really not. V'heim b'chinas roish shel hasitra achra. They represent a leadership of the satan, shehu keneged roish hanal dikdusha, which is the opposing force to the leadership of holiness, the leadership of kedusha. And this leadership of Tuma, this leadership of the Sitra Achra, is called Bechinas Roish Kol Chutzais, is called the leader of the streets. Kol Chutzais refers to the, not the bayis, not the house, but the Chutzais means outside the house, like the streets. Shezeh Bechinas Roish the Sitra Achra. This is one of the nicknames of a leader from the Soton. Bechinas mefursamim shel sheker. These people who are publicized, who are well known as leaders, but they're really false, they're really fake. Bechinas shem hatumo shel hachitzainim chas v'shalom. They represent, they draw their power from these names of tuma. V'azai, and then what happens is, ein bayis. Because there is no roish bayis, because there is no head of the household, therefore the whole house loses its structure. And there no longer is a bias. The bias falls apart in a sense. When there's no house, then those people that would ordinarily be living in the house are forced to roam the streets. That's the terminology that's used. Rabbein Azal here is saying that the neshamos are forced to be mizgalgel, to roll outside in the streets in a sense. The alkein nikro roish kol chutzos. This is why we find that the Satan, or the leaders of Tuma, are nicknamed this term, Roish Kol Chutzais, the leaders of the streets, like the outside. Kines Aleim Chas V'Shalom Bechinas Roish Bayis, because at a certain point in time, there becomes hidden this Roish Bayis, this Tzaddik. V'Azai Ein Bayis, and because the Roish Bayis disappears, automatically the Bayis disappears. And then what happens is that all those that would normally be inhabitants of the house, they would normally be living in the house, because there is no house, they're forced to remain outside in the streets. This concept of being in the streets, which represents a tame area, versus the house, which represents a more stable, a place of kedusha. And about this, the pasuk says in Eicha, that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and when Yeshio HaTzadik was killed, the Pasuk says, Tishtapechno Avnei Kodesh Beroish Kol Chutzos. The holy stones. This is one of the nicknames referring to the neshamos of the Jews, which shine like precious stones. These holy stones were splattered Barosh Kol Chutzais. They were splattered within the domain, within the area of the Rosh Kol Chutzais, in the streets. But note, it doesn't say the word Bachutz, it says Barosh Kol Chutzais. Bnei Tzion Hayikorim Hamesuloim Bapoz. The Pasuk says the children of Tzion, the children of Yerushalayim, Hayikorim, who were so precious, so special, Hamesuloim Bapoz, they were praised. When people would praise them, they would compare them to poz, the choicest type of gold that exists. Dahainu, Rabbi Nezal explains, Sheyisroel Kedoshim Mizgalgalim Chas V'Sholem Barosh Kol Chutzais. What happens is that the holy neshamos of the Jews are forced to roam in the streets, Rachmar al Islam, within the domain of Tumah, outside, Ki Nistalek V'Nisalem HaRosh Bayis, because the Rosh Bayis has passed away. Dahainu HaTzadik HaAmiti, the Tzadik Emes. And therefore, as a result of the tzaddik, who's called the Rosh Bayis, as a result of him passing away, v'nes gaber chas v'shalom ha-hepech, there is automatically strengthened the other end of the seesaw. When this side of the seesaw goes down, the other side of the seesaw goes up. V'nes gaber chas v'shalom ha-hepech, shehu b'chin ha-shem shel tumah, shel ha-chitzainim, the names of tumah, the names of these klipos, these outside forces that oppose kedusha, that oppose holiness, they become stronger. Bechinas roish kol chutzais, and they are referred to. Their title is this term roish kol chutzais. Now, just for a second, let's take a look at this. This is a very, very significant sentence within the whole Eicha. This is probably in some ways the most important sentence in the whole Eicha. Rav Nosson Zal mentions this in Likutei Halachos a lot of times. This is the beginning of Perek Dalet in Eicha, the fourth Perek in Eicha. The Pasuk begins, Eicha Yuam Zohov. How was the gold, how did the gold become hidden? Yishne HaKesem HaToiv. The very, very precious forms of gold and ornaments became changed. Tishtapechno avnei kodesh barosh kol chutzais. These holy stones were strewn about, were splattered barosh kol chutzais in the streets. Let's take a look at the Rashi on this first pasuk, because this is very, very important. Rashi HaKodesh says, Eicho yuam zohov, kino zu nemro al Yeshiyahu. This paragraph, this chapter of Eicho, was said by Yirmiyahu Anovi about the passing away of Yeshiyahu HaMelech, King Yeshiyahu, who was a very, very great tzaddik. Kama Shenemar b'divrei hayomim, as the pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Haloi hiksuvo al sefer hakinois. It says over there that the eulogy for Yeshiyahu HaMelech is not mentioned in Divrei Hayomim, it's mentioned in the Sefer HaKinois. Sefer HaKinois is one of the nicknames for Eicha. Ve'imo chiber b'soich HaKino es shar b'nei Tzion. And once Yirmiyahu HaNavi was talking about Yeshiyahu the Tzaddik, he automatically attached to him and included with him all the other Jews. So that, note, he's showing the iskashrus, the attachment of Klal Yisrael to the tzaddik. When he's lamenting, when he's bemoaning the loss of the tzaddik, he's showing how it affects all those people that are dependent on the tzaddik, which means the whole Jewish nation. Yuam, the word yuam, Rashi HaKodesh says, yiche, means to become dimmed, to become extinguished. When a light gets turned out, we use this word yuam. Kemoi da'at mitargim keho amyo. As the Targum says on the word keho, when it says by Yitzchok Avinu, vaticheno einov meraois, the Targum uses this word amyo. Amyo means to fade out, in a sense. Zohov, what does the term gold here refer to? This means maris ponim hamatziv kazohov. This refers to the glow on the face of Yeshua HaMelech. Yeshua, this tzaddik, his face shone like gold. It had this glow of gold. Yishne, yishtane mimarisoi. And this face became changed. It no longer had that beauty to it that it had originally. Avnei Kodesh, then the Pasuk says, Tishtapechno, Avnei Kodesh, these holy stones were scattered. Rashi HaKodesh mentions two pshatim on this. One pshat is bonim hameirim kavonim toivois. This refers to the children of Klal Yisrael, whose neshamos shine like precious stones, like diamonds and emeralds and things like that. Another pshat, umedrash agoda, the medrash says, kol revis dam sheyotza meyoshio b'chol chetz v'chetz sheno atzuboi. Navi tells us that when the goyim killed Yeshio HaMelech, they shot his body full of arrows, like a sieve. His body became like a sieve, so many holes it had from all the arrows that the goyim shot into it. So the Midrash says, every cupful of blood that poured forth from Yeshio HaMelech with every arrow that was shot into him, Hoyo Yirmiyahu Koivroi Bimekoimo. Yirmiyahu HaNavi buried that revius of blood in its place, where it fell on the ground. Because we know that a mace is koines mekoimoi, that when a dead person dies, he has to be buried exactly in the place where he passes away. If we find him already dead, like in a sense. This is, unless it's in a house or a place like that, then you're permitted to remove him to a cemetery. We're talking about if you find the dead body, let's say in a forest or something like that, you're not permitted to carry him to a cemetery, but rather you have to bury him right there. So here, every revius of dam, a revius of dam constitutes, is comparable to an aver, like a part of the body, like a hand or something like that. Every revius of dam, as they were dragging the body of Yeshio HaNavi, every time there was a revius of blood that was gathered on the ground, Yirmiyahu HaNavi would bury that. Ve'oleho havo koire, and about ve'oleho hu koire tishtapech navnei kodesh, and about each drop of blood he referred to of Yeshio HaMelech, he referred to it as a holy stone, because we know the pasuk says ki hadam hu hanefesh. The blood contains in it the soul of the person, the nefesh of the person. So that he used this term, Avnei Kodesh, referring to the nefoshes. This is the main Rashi that I wanted to stress in this piece of Likutei Moran. Now Rabbein Ezal reviews this for us. Rabbein Ezal says, V'Yirmiyahu HaNavi hoyu mekoinein umechavev dam Yisrael shenishbach. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was crying over and lamenting and showing his deep love for every drop of Jewish blood which was spilled, v'hoyu mishtatev b'tzaroson, and he joined in the suffering of the Jews. Although he was not being killed or persevered, yet he joined in the suffering of the Jewish people at that time. V'hoyu roya Yisrael mailichin b'koilorim, he saw the Jews being led in chains. Nebuchadnezzar was actually leading them out of the land of Eretz Yisrael into Bavel, into exile, in chains. V'dehoin mahatkin la'achira, their hands were tied behind them, behind their backs. V'rechayo al tzavarehoin, and they had shackles like around their neck. V'hoyo mishtatef imohim, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi was not chained. Nebuchadnezzar respected him because Yirmiyahu HaNavi was the one who had warned the Jews that if they wouldn't behave the right way, their Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed, they would be led into Golos. V'hoyo mishtatef imohim, and Yirmiyahu HaNavi joined in their suffering. V'hoyo mekoinein al kol tipo dam shel Yisrael, and he was crying over every single drop of blood of the Jewish people, and he said about it, B'nei Tzion hayikorim hamesuloim bapoz tishtapech navnei kodesh. That's what these words were said about, showing the deep feeling that he had for the other Jews. Rav Nosson Zal continues to add on pieces to this Torah that Rabbeinu Zal said, V'zehu eile toildois noyach hainu kimekoinein al toildois shenisharu. This is what we said earlier, that when Parshas Noyach in the Chumash begins with the words, these are the children of Noyach, this again is a type of eulogy. When a person passes away, that's when we discuss his children, like what he left behind. Hainu kimekoinein al hatoilodoi shenisharu. It's as if we're crying over the children that were left behind, meaning that somebody left them. The head of the family, passed away. Vizehu noyach ish tzadik tomim hoya. The pasuk uses the term past tense over there. It says noyach a tzadik, he was. Was implies that he's no longer around. Hainu shehoyo v'nestalik. He was, and he passed away. Rabbeinu Zal here again is showing the connection between Bereshis, Parshas Bereshis, which begins with the word Bereshis, and Parshas Noach, which begins with a eulogy for this tzaddik, who is called Bereshis, this Rosh Bais.
Who is the eulogy for?
Noach HaTzadik, exactly.
Even though they're discussing at that point in the Chumash, he's not physically there yet, but
exactly.
In a sense it's eulogy.
Exactly. It represents this concept of a eulogy for the passing away of a tzaddik. And note the symbolism in the word Hoyo. Tzaddik Tomim Hoyo. He was a tzaddik, implying that he's not around anymore. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'hine kol hadoirois kulam nimshochem en atzadik. All the generations all come forth from the tzaddik. All people of Klal Yisrael all come forth from the tzaddik. Shehu haroish, he is the leader. Bechinas kere hadoris meroish. Vize bechinas eile toldois noyach. This is why the pasuk says, these are the children of noyach. Shekol hatoilodois. All the children that would be in the future, the hainu hadoirois, meaning all the generations that would come forth, eile toldois, all of these children, Noach, they all come forth from Noach. Kulam nimshochim min Noach. They all come forth from Noach. Shehu bechinas hatzadik. He represents, he's the symbol of tzadik. Bechinas horoish. He represents this leadership. Bechinas koire hadoirois meroish. That Hashem brings forth the generations from the roish, from the leader. Now Rabbi Nezal says, the next two paragraphs are going to be going off a little bit on a tangent, but connected to what we had before. Rabbi Nezal says, V'dan, you should know, Shegam hidur ho'esroig nimshach gamkein min horoish hanal. You should know that the beauty of the esroig that the Yidden take on the holiday of Sukkos, the beauty of the esroig also comes from the tzaddik, who is called this roish. This is another translation of this pasuk that Hashem calls forth, brings forth, hadoyrois from the roish. What is hadoyrois? Rabbi Nezal says, "Bechinas hidur hoesroi." The word hadoyrois is miloshen hidur, beauty. The word hadoyrois means the generations. The word hidur also means beauty. That the beauty of what? Of that item which in the Torah is called beauty. Where do we find the term hador used in the Torah? About an esroig. Ulekachtem lochem pre-eitz hador. The Jews will take for themselves a fruit of beauty. That's what the esroig is called in the Torah. So Rabbi Nezal says, you should know that the beauty of the esroig, shenimshach gamkein meharoishanal, also comes from the tzaddik. The tzaddik who is called the beauty of the entire world. Torah is teaching us the type of feeling that a person is supposed to have when a tzaddik passes away.
It doesn't
say that he's dead. It says these are the children of Noach. Noach was a tzaddik, tamim b'dayroisov, in his generation. But in those words, depending on how you read them, they could have different meanings. There are many words in the Torah that are said to teach us all kinds of different things. 70 different pshatim that are found in every sentence in the Torah. 70 different translations and interpretations of every sentence in the Torah. Now Rabbi Nezal says, V'hine ikor hahidur heim Yisroel. If we want to talk about beauty, the main beauty of the whole world is the Jewish nation. Ki af al pi shegam chom v'yofes heim toldos Noach. Because although we know that Noach had three children, he had chom, yofes, and shem. Af al pi kein ikor hahidur heim Yisroel. Still, there's no question that the main beauty in the world is the Jewish people, the Jewish nation. Sheboim mibnei Shem, that are descendants of Shem. We come from Shem. V'ze b'chinas hidur mitzvah at shlish. We know, the Gemara tells us in Baba Kama, that if a person wants to know a halacha, we know that when it comes to doing a mitzvah, a Jew should be willing to spend whatever money it costs. No matter how much money it costs to do a mitzvah, if he has that amount of money, he has to spend it to do the mitzvah. Let's say it comes to buying wine for Pesach, for the 4 cups of wine. Even the poorest person who only has just enough money for the wine, he's got to buy the wine. The question is, what is he going to do afterwards? The answer is, he'll beg. He'll do whatever he has to. But he has to do the mitzvah. The Gemara says, however, besides the actual mitzvah itself, there is a concept of hidur mitzvah, of beautifying the mitzvah. In other words, you could do a mitzvah in the minimum level and be yitzit to the least that you have to do to be covered, or you could do the mitzvah the best that you can, meaning, for example, it comes to an esrog. A person can buy an esrog that's acceptable according to halacha. It's kosher, where if he would show it to a rabbi, it meets all the requirements, all the basic requirements. And that esrog could cost $30, $40. Then a person can go out and spend $150 on an esrog that's perfect. It doesn't have the tiniest question on it even. It doesn't have the tiniest problem that you would think maybe it's not kosher. The other esrog is kosher, but it has certain questions on it. It has certain problems with it. But a Rav said, even though it has problems, the problems are still acceptable. Then there's a question of hidur, doing the mitzvah as beautiful as you possibly can. The Gemara says, how much money should a Jew be willing to spend on hidur mitzvah, on beautifying a mitzvah? The Gemara says, ad shlish, up to a maximum of a third of his wealth. Meaning, let's say a person has $100,000, $333, he should be willing to spend on beautifying mitzvahs. Not more than that. We don't say a person should give away all his money to do the mitzvah extra credit, like to do it as perfect as it can. So Rabbein Azal says, the expression in the Gemara is, hidur mitzvah ad shlish, that beautifying is up to a third. Rabbein Azal says, ze bechinas shame. This represents the one of the three sons of Noach HaTzadik, called shame, shehu hashlish mishloisha b'nei Noach. He is a third of all the children of Noach. Noach had three sons. One of them was Shem. That means Shem is a third of all the children of Noach. Rabbein Azal says, "V'ayin b'sanhedrin of kufir aleph mashedor shal posuk v'hashlishis yevater bo." The posuk says, "There's a posuk that says there'll come a time when Hashem says that 2/3 of the world is going to be destroyed. I don't need them. They're nothing." 1/3, vahashlishis, a third of it, yevater, will remain. And the Gemara over there says, vahashlishis yevater bo shlishi shel Noach. This refers to the third, a third of Noach, meaning one of the three sons of Noach, referring to Shem specifically, and shlishi shel Shem, and also a third of Shem. We know that the Shem's third son was Arpachshad. And from Arpachshad came forth Shelach, Aver, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu came from a third of a third, in a sense. He came from the third son of Shem, and Shem was one of the three sons of Noach. So we see this concept of a third referring to the Jewish nation, that out of all the peoples in the world in the beginning of time, the Jewish nation represented this number, a third. They were a third. And we know the Torah tells us that the term hidur is applied to a third. So therefore, Rabbein Azal says, Shehu ikor hahidur v'hape'er kanal. The Jewish people, they are the main beauty of the whole world. V'hu bechinas shame. And note, what's the term that's used to apply here to this third of the world, the good third of the world? Shame. Shame daika. That term shame is used specifically, Bechinas Shem HaKodesh, Shehu Bechinas Pe'er V'Hidur Kanal. This refers to the holy name of Hashem, which is upon Bnei Israel, which is upon the Jewish people, Shmoi Meshutaf Bishmeinu. As we said earlier in this chapter in Likutei Moran, that's where the Jewish people draw their holiness from. They draw their holiness from the name of Hashem, which is upon them. from their acceptance of the Torah, which is called Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of these other all these other mitzvahs by which a Jew places the name of Hashem upon him. We know that the mitzvah of Milah, for example, the Pasuk says about it, V'hoyo Shakai Bitzorecho, that the mitzvah of Milah represents a person engraving the name of Hashem upon him. The mitzvah of tzitzis, tefillin, all of these mitzvahs, the pasuk says, "Varo kol ha'amim ki shem Hashem nikra olecha v'yaro mimecha," that all the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is upon you, they'll be afraid of you. How does a Jew take upon himself the name of Hashem? Through acceptance of the Torah. The Torah, the whole Torah, is called Kula Shmoisav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah contains in it all the different names of Hashem, and each one of the individual mitzvahs represents different names of Hashem. The mitzvah of tefillin, we find that in the tefillin there are chof aleph askorois. There are Hashem's name is mentioned in the tefillin shal yad and in the tefillin shal roish, and each one exactly 21 times. 21 is ekyeh. You have ekyeh in the roish, ekyeh in the yad. There are many, many other ramazim like this, and each one of the mitzvahs showing how the name of Hashem is found in each one of these mitzvahs. Rav Nosson Zal says, v'hovein heitev, Lakasher kol ze im mashikosav la'el, and study well, understand well how to connect what we're saying here about the Esroig and about the generations and about Noyach HaTzadik, all of these things, to connect it back with the major part of the Torah that we had in the beginning, the big chunks of this chapter on the Kudimran that we had earlier. The Maimar Bereshis, with everything that was said in this chapter called Bereshis Leinei Kol Yisrael, because we said that this is an appendix. Past this line on page 72 is all additional stuff, extra things being added on to the Torah, this chapter of Likud HaMoran, which ends with the words Neftach Anenei Kol Yisrael, right before that line. So understand, to attach all of this was with what was said in the chapter Bereshis, Ubesimen Samach Vov, and that which was said earlier in chapter 66, the previous Torah, before Torah Samach Zayin, Ki HaKol Mekushar Yachad, because all of this is very, very much connected. It all ties together very well. Ayin Sham Heitev. Study this very well. Study Torah Samach Vov and Samach Zayin very well, and then study these pieces that we added onto it, and you'll see how it's all very, very much connected, and each piece depends on each other. Now Rav Nosson Zal adds on one more piece that Rabbeinu Zal said. Shayach Le'el, this is also connected with the first paragraph of this Torah on Likud HaMoran, where Rabbeinu Zal discussed about Rachel, about the crying of Rachel, and about how that represents the sun setting in the west, that whole subject. Rabbeinu Zal says now, Rachel mevako al boneho, the concept of Rachel Imenu crying for her children that are in exile, ze bechinas ulimto shapirto de leslo einen. This corresponds to a term that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh refers to the Shekhinah, the Spirit of Hashem, as a beautiful maiden that has no eyes. Ulimto shapirta deles lo einin. What does this mean? Rabbeinu Zal explains, Ki Rochel hoiso yifas toyar vifas mare. We know that the Torah uses the term beautiful about Rochel Imenu. Leah, it said, was not so beautiful. About Rochel, it says, she was yifei toyar vifei mare. She had this pe'er, this beauty. Va'al kenem, therefore, ikor ha'hoilodo shela tzadik, shu b'chinas yosef, shoyo yifei toyar vifei mare, b'chinas ha'per v'yofi shaloilom kanal, humei Rochel. That's why we find that the main birth of the tzaddik, which is Yosef, who was also called Yifei Toyar Vifei Mare, the Torah also uses the term beauty about him because he represents the beauty of the entire world. Therefore, humei Rochel. Therefore, he came forth from Rochel. Because Rochel, it also says about her that she is Yifei Toyar Vifei Mare. Avol Achshov Begolus. But nowadays, that the Jewish people is in exile. Achar ha-churbon, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdosh, he bebechinas Rochel mevaka al boneho. Now, the state that Rochel Imenu is in is that she is crying over her children. V'alkein, and therefore, he bechinas ulimto shapirto de leslainen. This is why this term is used about the Shekhinah, about Rachel, that she is ulimto shapirto de leslainen, a beautiful maiden who doesn't have eyes. What does that mean? Ki mo'er einayim nistalken al yedei habechi kanal. Because we said earlier that the light of the eyes leaves through the crying. When a person cries, their vision becomes blurred as a result of the crying. So because the Shekhinah is now in a state of crying constantly over the fact that her children, the Jewish people, are in exile, this crying causes the light of the eyes of the Shekhinah, in a sense, to disappear, to go away. And therefore the Shekhinah, this term is used about the Shekhinah, ulimto shapirto de lesla einen, a beautiful maiden that has no eyes. V'hovein heitev, and understand this well, because this term is used in the Zohar HaKadosh often, describing the Shekhinah, this concept of missing eyes. Rabbi Nizal explains now what this refers to, that this refers to the histalkos of the Ma'irei Oer, which are replaced by Ma'irei Eish, which represents the disappearance of the Beis HaMikdosh, which is called Machmad Einehem, the beauty of the eyes of the Jews. When that's destroyed, then the Shekhinah takes on this form, whereby it's called Ulimtot Shapirta de Leslainen. And now we can connect very, very well this chapter in Likutei Moran. Rabbi Nizal started out talking about Rochel Imenu crying over her children. The Acharkach, and right after that, medaber me hahalomosh mashenesalim hatzadik shuaper vayoyfi bechinas yoyseif bechinas v'yoyseif hoyefei toyer. The next paragraph, Rabbi Nizal went into a discussion talking about the histalkus of Yosef HaTzadik, the passing away of Yosef HaTzadik, who represents the beauty of the whole world. In the first paragraph, he discussed the concept of Rochel Mavaka, Rochel crying. What is she crying about? She's crying about the histalkus of the Tzadik, because she and the Tzadik are very closely connected. The Tzadik comes from Rochel. Yosef HaTzadik came from Rochel. His beauty came from Rachel, came from the Shekhinah. Ki hakol inyan echad, because all of this is very, very much tied in together. Ki ikar hoylodas hatzadik shehu bechinas Yosef, the main birth of the tzadik, who is symbolized by Yosef, kanal, as we said earlier, humi Rachel. He comes from Rachel, kanal, as we explained earlier. Baruch Hashem. Now, just to review for a minute, we'll skip along just from paragraph to paragraph outside, just to review the major concepts, the major terms that Rabbi Nizal used in this chapter. Rabbi Nizal started off basing this Torah on the connection between the last words of the Torah, the end of the Torah, and the beginning of the Torah. The last words in the Chumash are Le'enei Kol Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu presented this whole Torah before the eyes of all the Yidden. And the first word in the Torah is Bereshis. And Rabbi Nizal showed how the word Bereshis, which is one of the nicknames of the Tzaddik who is the Rosh Bayis, the letters Rosh Bayis are the same letters as the word Bereshis. This Tzaddik is the Einei Kol Yisrael. He is the eyes of the Jewish people. Then Rabbi Nizal spoke about certain clouds that cover up the eyes, that there are two clouds that are called Roimi Rabsi and Roimi Zeersa, the Great Rome and the Small Rome, that cover up the eyes of Klal Yisrael. And we said that the word Roimi is Bigimatria Nur, which is the Aramaic word for fire. This fire is what covers up the light of the eyes. The light of the eyes is called Oer. When these Ma'irei Oer are anastalic, they're replaced with Ma'irei Eish, as Rabbi Nizal explained. Then he discussed the concept of the sun setting in the west, that Ma'irav, the Arizal says, is Rosh Tevis Rochel Mevaka Al Boneho, Rochel Imenu crying over her children. And we know the Gemara says that when a person cries, the vision becomes lessened. So too, this direction of the south, Ma'irav, which makes up these words, of the West, which makes up this word Ma'irav, which is the Rosh Yitevis Rochel Mevaka Al-Boneho, you'll note that that's the direction where the light goes down, where the light of the sun decreases. Then Rabbi Nizal discussed the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, the replacement of the Ma'irei Oer by the Ma'irei Ho'esh. Then Rabbeinu Zal discussed the concept of the tzaddik, who is the pe'er and yoifi of the world. He is the Shem Hashem, and when his name is heightened, then the Shem Hashem is heightened, and when his name is decreased, because the tzaddik represents the yesod haposhut, the simplest element in all of creation, upon which all four basic elements of creation are dependent on, Eish Ruach Mayim Ofor, which every single thing in this world is made up of, all of that is tied into the tzaddik. All of it depends on the tzaddik. Then Rabbeinu Zal discussed the concept of Bezalel, Re'u Koro Hashem, B'Shem Bezalel, and Hashem filled him with Chochma Tevuna, the four Moichin, the Dalet Moichin, which are the origin of the Dalet Yesoidos. They are what feed the Dalet Yesoidos. They correspond to the Tlas Gavnen Deino Basayin, to the three colored rings of the eye and the pupil of the eye. Then Rabbeinu Zal discussed the fact that when a tzaddik passes away, when these Ma'iri Or pass away, they're replaced by Ma'irei Eish, which represents Mefursamim Shel Sheker, fake leaders, leaders that make believe that they're light, but they're really fire, they're very destructive to Klal Yisrael. Then Rabbeinu Zal discussed the importance of the mitzvah of Tikkun Chatzos, what it means for a person to get up in the middle of the night and to say the special prayers for the Churban Beis HaMikdosh, because Kol HaMesabel Al Yerushalayim, anybody who mourns the destruction of Yerushalayim will be zecher to get to see it being rebuilt. And Rabbeinu Zal explained that the word Mesabel was the Rosh Tevois Lo Yisavar Ueish B'chol Mosh V'Seichem B'yayim HaShabbos, the whole concept of putting out of the fire, and how Shabbos also represents this light of the eyes, the Shin Bas, the Tlas Gavnen Deino Basayin, and Shabbos is actually what feeds the Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh draws its light from Shabbos. That's why we find in the Torah, whenever the Torah discusses the Beis HaMikdosh, it always discusses the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos right next to it. And these were the major concepts that were discussed within this Torah Likutei Moran. Period. Baruch Hashem. Hopefully in the next year we're going to go back and review all the things that took place at the time that Rabbeinu Zal said this Torah Likutei Moran, related to Rabbi Levi Yitzchok Barditchev Zal, related to Rabbeinu Zal's own life, and what happened in the world after what happens in the world after a tzaddik passes away.
Let's clarify slightly what you mentioned as far as Hidur Mitzvah. Isn't it going up, let's say, on the price of a certain item, let's say paying a third more for an estrig rather than a person's complete wealth, a third of his wealth?
The answer is that's one interpretation of it. This concept of Hidur Mitzvah being to pay 33% more than standard is one taich on this Hidur Mitzvah and Shlish. When we explain this Torah a little bit more, you're going to see what that means. Now, that's a term, that's an idiom like that Rabbeinu Zal is using to refer to this concept of the tzaddik being the yisoid, again, the foundation, that any item of kedusha, any item of holiness has to come from the tzaddik, has to come from him. So when we talk about a concept of, let's say, Jewish children being born, the whole concept of children being born, which part of the body do the children come forth from? Again, it's the bris kodesh, which represents the tzaddik yisoid olam, this yisoid haposhut, from which come forth all of these dalet yisoidos. There are going to be many, many different representations of what this means, the fact that all the generations, as the whole Klal Yisrael, everything comes from the tzaddik. He's the pillar, the foundation. Anything that blossoms in this world all comes from him.
Don't say that usually the main test of faith in the tzaddik is during his lifetime. The chalikus against him. Sure. Whereas after he passes away, then like the sort of moment chalikus, there's more that his light really comes out after his passing.
To a greater degree than when he was alive,
so
right?
How does that fit with here? We're saying when he passes away, that's when there's a stalkus of his light and a strengthening of the light of Tumah. As opposed to saying that there's now less going to be, less people following or believing in him.
This has nothing to do with believing in him. That's not the point here. What it's saying is that when a great tzaddik leaves the world, he takes with him a big chunk of light. A big chunk of light that he represented in this world leaves, just as the Gemara says, that when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, 300 laws were forgotten. This concept of this histalkus of the Ma'irei Er, of the Ma'irei Oyer. And when there is this vacuum, it leaves room, it creates a vacancy for it to be replaced by something negative, which represents these Moireish. This has nothing to do with the concept of emuna in this tzaddik. It's talking about a slot that he filled in the world, which when he vacates that slot, it's very likely and very possible for it to be filled by the opposite of the tzaddik, the opposite of the Shem Hashem, which is these mefusim shel shecha.
If the tzaddik, when he's installed and he takes the light away, but it's only good for him, but for Klal Yisrael, it's all bad for him. So what does he do?
The answer is that's what Hashem wants. In other words, this concept of tzaddikim passing away usually is a punishment to Klal Yisrael. Usually when a tzaddik passes away, it's a sign that the Jews did things that cost them this loss, where they had to suffer this loss. In fact, the Gemara uses the terminology that kosher sidukon shel tzadikim kiflayim kechurb meis hamikdash, that the passing away of a tzaddik is considered twice as big a tragedy as the churb meis hamikdash. That's how big a loss it is to call Israel.
So you should use a third of all your money for mitzvahs, one mitzvah, or just like for a lot of mitzvahs?
This concept of hidur mitzvah, beautifying mitzvah.
For one mitzvah or for a whole group of mitzvahs?
Just like that, so you hit, you know,
it's just for it.
Right? I don't know.
Because if a person would do it for every mitzvah, he wouldn't have any more money left.
The answer is, obviously, if a person's going to spend money like this on mitzvahs, Rabbis always said this rule that a person never got poor. The Rambam says that nobody ever got poor from giving tzedakah. They never occurred a case in history.
Not stuck, just by people, unless they sell it surrogate. All the money doesn't go to stuck, they keep it for
themselves. 100%, but that's also a mitzvah. You understand? I don't think it means referring to one mitzvah. I think it refers to this concept of stam, doing mitzvahs in an extra way, in other words, better than the minimum, above minimum.
Okay, we'll hold it over here for now. It's a shame the next year we probably won't be learning inside the Likud Iman. It'll be different sforim that have all of these different parts to it.